Good evening. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, where truth is our bitch, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Got David G. Hall hanging on the line as a result of a bit we did last night. So that's always a great way to start the show when you have your partner and vice president of syndication hanging on, ready to rip you an ass over something. You don't know. Yeah, I do know. Right, bud?
Yeah, talk about a golden triangle.
Golden triangle? Does that ring a bell?
I don't know.
We were just talking before the show that broadcasting, like any business, you know, any career that you have, is a jealous mistress. A jealous mistress. You know, you've heard that term. If you're really devoted to your radio career, you're devoted to what you do for a living. It's a jealous mistress. Well, if radio is a jealous mistress, my career is a jealous mistress. I got my face planted in that golden triangle.
Yay.
Thank you. All right. Let's just see how far I dug that hole. David G. Hall on the line with us here. David, what's up?
Well, I think it was a funny line, Phil, to the extent that your audience likes that kind of stuff.
Can you get closer to the phone, please?
I think it was a funny line, but I think the golden triangle material last night probably set your radio show and your efforts at syndication back.
And how is that?
Well, Phil, you know, you can be flip if you want.
No, I'm not being flip, but starting the show with a call from one of the suits, excuse me for saying that, is not always the optimum way. So tell me what happened.
What happened was I got some phone calls from people. They don't like the idea of turning their radio on and listening to you talking to some kid, some 15-year-old kid.
17, but okay.
Well, you know what, Phil? Was the kid underage?
Yes, he was.
All right. 17-year-old kid talking about him figuring out what size his face is so he can stick it into something called a golden triangle. Now, I only got this stuff secondhand.
And let me ask you who you got it from.
That, you know, Phil, it's not important.
Yeah. Who did you get it from?
I got it from a young lady.
From your girlfriend?
You know something? You are very flip with another man's personal life.
Well, if your personal life is informing on me, I'd like to know, who'd you get it from?
I got it from Daphne. Honey, be quiet. I got it from Daphne.
Well, I just heard her there, and I'm wondering, were you able to understand her? Because the last time she talked, she had a mouthful of cream-filled eclairs or something.
You know, that's very, very rude. I got it from Daphne, who was listening. She likes your show. Would you please? What? All right, I got to pull over. She wants to use the...
Are you ever doing anything other than driving around town with her looking for another donut shop?
No, something. Forget it.
Do you do that on purpose?
Do what on purpose?
Insult to get them to hang up?
Let me explain a little something to you, Margaret.
Okay, I got to sit down, ladies and gentlemen. Daddy's going to give me a lecture.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, Daddy's giving... I'm going to explain something to you. The guy wants to start the show calling me up and telling me about what I did wrong, the golden triangle, whatever. Then he tells me the reason why is because Daphne, with a face full of crueler, was listening to the show, and when he tries to talk to her, I'm hearing, you know,
I can't understand that thing she's saying.
Yes, he's all like...
You know, Bud, when you look at me and make the sounds of someone gagging, I know exactly what's going through your mind, and I'm...
Watch it.
I won't. I'm not going to put up with it.
He doesn't mean anything like that.
I'm not talking about that.
He's looking me up and down and going... Grr. Now, let me say something right here, Phil.
I'm not done, okay? I'm just telling you that if he wants to start the show breaking my castanets, as they say, telling me about Daphne having her face filled with a chocolate eclair or whatever, and she heard something, and she's not sure, and this is that, and that's this, and forevermore, then I'm going to get in a couple of shots. And if he's too small to listen to what I'm saying and he hangs up, that's his life, not mine, okay? The floor is yours.
Never mind.
Margaret, I don't think you're going to get any sympathy that way.
Never mind. I'm not going to be bullied, thank you.
I'm really bullying you. You're the one you bullied me.
How did I bully you?
By saying I sound like I'm gagging up on something.
No, you looked at me as if I'm familiar with gagging. I don't...
You know what? The problem is, the more you talk about this, the worse it gets. Anyway, welcome to the program, folks. Let's just blow past all of this stuff. Phil Henry Show, our number is 855-500-7445. The way you look at me, it's as if I'm familiar with gagging.
That's exactly the way he was looking at me.
Didn't I?
I don't think he did. Lloyd Bonafide is a retired heating and plumbing guy from Alhambra. There's something about being a retired heating and plumbing guy from Alhambra, which, by the way, Alhambra Some of you may, that may ring a bell with you. Yes, you're right. That is the city wherein in which Phil Spector resided. Not particularly a Hollywood-type town. It was very interesting when I first became aware of the Phil Spector story that he had a mansion in Alhambra, California. It's a suburb of Los Angeles. It's kind of east of the city. It's south of where I grew up. It's very, very middle class, extremely old-school suburbia America in a lot of ways. But in the midst of that, it was this mansion that Phil Spector lived in, and I suppose it was because maybe he got the property at a bargain basement price. Maybe he just didn't like the Hollywood thing. But Lloyd is not a Hollywood guy. Lloyd is a hardworking guy, a guy who has been on our program before, a Korean War vet, and he joins us online here from Alhambra, California, on the Phil Henry Show. By the way, we are online at philhenryshow.com. We have live streaming video of our show up right now.
And what is that? That's...
That is just a old, just some stock footage from the movies that we have running behind us. It's like some street scene from 1940s L.A. All right. Mr. Bonafide, sir.
Yes, good evening.
Good. How are you?
Yes, very good.
And Mr. Bonafide, you saw an article in the paper today having to do with the terrible snowstorms in Colorado, and the two hikers were stranded near the top of Colorado Peak and made their way down.
Yes, I saw the article about these two people, and I mentioned to my wife that, you know, enough is enough, and that at this point I would have to go and talk to some members of the media. Now, I had been in contact with Art Trudell, who is a writer with the local Alhambra paper, and I've been in touch with a few other people.
And with regard to what?
Well, with regard to an incident that I had been involved in the San Gabriel Mountains here about the late 1980s, 1988. And I was up there with friends. I had separated at the time from my wife, and I can tell you, Mr. Henry, we're old-fashioned people. When you separate from your spouse, you are... It was a difficult time for me, but I was had spent the time going into the mountains with the friends of mine, fly fishing, and staying at a cabin there. And it was in the middle of the night one night as we were sitting around the fire that we'd made near Royco Stream, which is up there in the mountains, one of the individuals I was with, somehow a fire got started in the brush around our campsite. It was something that I did not recognize immediately, and nor did he. It got to be blazing.
Now, what do you mean blazing?
Well, the fire had gotten out of control around our campsite. And I had seen it, and I had remarked to Jim, who was the other man that was with us, along with Dennis. I said that fire is quite large, and I said that I think we need to put that fire out.
Well, how large was it?
It was blazing, and it was encroaching on the campsite, and it looked to me as if it was going to begin to engulf some of the tree line.
And you noticed this fire when? When it was out of control?
I want to mention to you that the reason why the fire started was because of a cigarette that had been thrown into the brush. It was not a cigarette, it was a marijuana, which had been smoked by myself and the other men. And the reason I've talked to our pastor at the Alhambra Presbyterian, which is where my wife and I recommitted ourselves when I knew our marriage was on the rocks, I would not lie.
You were smoking marijuana?
Along with these other gentlemen, and the marijuana stub or the cigarette stub was in the brush. The fire started. I'm so very sorry.
And the fire got out of control.
It was not out of control, but it was quite extensive, and we only recognized the extent of the fire when we pulled ourselves from this hypnosis, I guess.
You were high.
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to continue this story. It's very interesting. It's Mr. Lloyd Bonafide who partaked of... is he blaming the marijuana?
I think he's saying that because they had smoked this marijuana, they didn't recognize.
Yeah, they didn't recognize how big the fire was.
Didn't recognize how big the fire was. We're going to be back here with Lloyd Bonafide and the rest of his tale. There is a very, very interesting story in the news today concerning a couple that descended a peak in Colorado in the midst of this storm and made it down safely. And so often you hear these stories where people are not really making it down safely, where people are stranded, where people are, well, they're having a hard time surviving. And gosh knows we've got enough of those stories. This is one of success. Mr. Bonafide telling us a story of his own travails, only having to do with fire, not snow. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. And PhilHenryShow.com. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. What, bud?
What is that?
Well, that is like, that's Morse code.
No, it's not Morse code. It's the Who.
Oh, yeah, that's a song. Yeah, Babda O'Reilly.
Babda O'Reilly.
Never mind what it is. It's the Phil Henry Show is what it is. Is that Morse code? Welcome back, folks. We have with us Lloyd Bonafide from Alhambra, California. We're talking with him about an incident in the San Gabriel Mountains. Now, the story, I don't want to just skip to this story here, Lloyd, if I could, because this sort of inspired your phone call. What was it about this? I want to ask you a question, sir. What was it about this story that made you want to call us?
Well, please understand, Mr. Henry, it's not just you that I called.
You called several other shows?
Yes, sir. I called the Bill Habender Show. Habender on the line, and I also called the Dennis Prager. I'm a very big listener of Dennis Prager. I love his reasoning and the things that he does. I enjoy so much.
Uh huh. And did you tell Mr. Prager and these others?
I did not. I mentioned they were talking about the survival of this young woman, and I wanted to. And my wife said, "Why don't you talk about when you put the fire out?" But I was concerned because of the possible repercussions.
I don't think you're going to get into any... You mean the use of marijuana?
Yes, sir.
I don't think you're going to have a problem. I don't think there's going to be any problem with that. You're talking about the late 1980s. Was there any loss of life?
No, sir, there was not.
All right. And was there significant damage to property?
Not that we could see. The fire was not out of control, but it was blazing and raging. The flames were very high, and I spent the better part of the night shoveling dirt, trying to stamp it out. Henninger and Wilson, the two men that I was with, had taken off to find help. They did not return until I had finally had this put out, and they'd had to go down the hill. They took the truck and went down the hill to try to find help.
Well, how far away is a ranger station when something like that's happening?
I don't understand. I think the ranger station is going to be a certain distance. It's not going to get any closer. What do you mean?
I mean, how far away was the ranger station?
I don't know. I think they had to go to the bottom of Cloister Hill to find the station. I thought you meant how, when something like that happens, does the ranger station move closer?
No, well, how is it going to do that?
They might be mobile.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that. All right, so did they finally bring back help?
They brought back a man that had been hitchhiking. And when they came back, I asked them, where is the ranger? They said, well, and the fire was put out by then.
What time was this?
The sun was up. I have no way of knowing what time, but the sun had been up perhaps an hour.
Okay, so maybe 7 o'clock, something like that, or 6 o'clock. And there was no ranger with them.
No, there was this young man they'd picked up hitchhiking. And I said, where is the ranger? They said that they had gotten disoriented. And I could detect from the cab of the station wagon, because they took a loose station wagon, I could detect a very strong odor of marijuana at that time. And I then surmised that they had been smoking they've been smoking marijuana through the better part of the night and never did really go to the ranger station, and that was verified by this young man.
So you were in the middle of fighting a fire by yourself that was started by what you think was a stray marijuana roach or...
Yeah, the cigarette butt, yes, sir.
Okay. And these guys are supposed to go get help, but they never did. They picked up a hitchhiker, and you're told by the hitchhiker that they spent the rest of the night smoking marijuana in this guy's station wagon.
Yes, sir, that was my understanding, and that's when I threatened both of them. Because I had a 22 Beretta that I carry with me at all times in those days, and I've since stopped carrying that, and I threatened them both.
And how did you threaten them? With a gun?
With the gun. And I told them, the two of you take off. I said, you, all of you out there, take even the kid. And I would have nothing more to do with them. And I took Dennis's car and I drove home.
So you told these guys to take off on foot, and you took his car.
I took the man's car. The reason why I'm calling you, Phil, when I saw the article about these two people going down the Colorado mountain, they went down Colorado way, or they went down the Rocky Mountain. They were on top of the Rocky Mountain High, and they went down Colorado way, right?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
He's talking about the story.
Oh, the two hikers.
Yes, sir, the two hikers. When they went down the hill, I said to my wife, enough is enough. And that's when I called Dennis Prager, Art Bombassa, Wilson and Jefferson, and the Stu Klieger report, that I called all of them to say, what about when I put out a fire single-handedly, I did not call the newspapers. I did not call the magazines. I didn't call the different places that you, the TV station and the radio stations. I didn't call any of them. And no one knew, because it wasn't about me to be a glory hog. And that's what these people are about now.
Well, now hold on for a minute, because when somebody is reported missing, you can't really say they're being a glory hog. You're basically saying it's a news report. A pair of hikers made it down one of Colorado's highest peaks on their own Friday after being stranded by an ice storm for 2 days.
Please slow down, Mr. Henry.
I'm sorry.
Because you're going to pair of hikers every night, you know, it's difficult for an old man.
I understand, sir. I apologize. The Park Service had been trying to organize its latest efforts to rescue the Maine women from a 14,200-foot Long's Peak after bad weather defeated a helicopter rescue.
That says it right there, that these are two women that wanted to go the glory route. Now, you know.
I'm asking you to consider this, that these two women were missing, they were stranded or whatever, and the news picked up on it. They did not have anything to do with reporting their own story.
But the fact that they're women and the fact that they are on the Colorado Rocky Mountain High and the fact that they were from Maine and so forth, so, you know, I did not go to the media, is what I'm trying to say. Whether or not these women went themselves,
The women wet themselves?
No, I didn't say...
He did say wet themselves. He said went themselves.
Went themselves, not wet themselves. Who is speaking?
This is Margaret Gray, sir. I didn't understand what you said.
Well, you may remember, Miss Gray, you and I sang a duet during the Arafat.
Oh, I remember, you're Lloyd, and we sang Say You, Say Me.
That's right, Say You, Say Me.
I do remember, yes. And was that after this fire?
Oh, well after the fire. That was back before I recommitted myself to my Lord and Savior and my wife and my marriage. This was way back when I was I'd lost my way. I was living as a degenerate in the hills. I was scavenging for food. I was going into backyards and overturning garbage cans to see what they're...
You're kidding!
No, sir.
So this fire that got started as the result of you guys smoking marijuana or whatever...
Well, that as the result, it could have been a cigarette.
Well, yeah, but if you guys hadn't been stoned, you would have recognized right away what that fire... What did you think the fire was that was raging around you?
Well, I thought it was a fire, but you react slowly when you've been smoking... The cannabis, and you're what they call you tripping, you know.
Well, what are you doing? How old were you at that time?
I was in my late 50s. I don't think that has anything to do with it. But I saw the fire, but to me it was a manifestation of what I was worrying about internally, which was the fire of hell. for having left my wife, for having been...
All right, hold on, Lloyd.
For having not been a good man.
Hold on for just a minute. We're going to be back here.
Guys, I think that guy's cracked. If you want to have an honest opinion about it.
Yeah, thank you very much, Bud. I'm sure that I appreciate the honest opinion. That's Lloyd Bonafide. We're going to be back here with him in a moment. What is his problem, anyway?
Well, he thinks that these ladies getting all this glory, and he didn't get no glory about putting out a fire.
He didn't get any glory about putting out the fire, and these women are getting all this glory for being what?
Stranded on a mountain.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, online at philhenryshow.com, Lloyd Bonafide, and you know, like that.
Just crack you. Get an honest opinion about it.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com as we talk here with Lloyd Bonafide. What do we got here, bud?
That's a letter to my baby.
The letter to my baby is an old Phil Henry Show bit. We may get to that or not.
Well, this is a different type of letter to my baby. For those of you that are listening, you may not be familiar. Phil used to do Letter to My Baby, in which the man has written a letter to a woman that they have they're no longer together. And he is lamenting the fact that, I don't want to use the word, you use it.
That her ass got too big.
Yes. He's saying we could have done it all were it not for the fact. See, the thing that I didn't like, you did one, were it not for the fact that you had the spinach between your teeth.
Yeah, well, they went to a party.
No, I know, with Steven Spielberg. And I just found it in bad taste.
Well, the whole thing's in bad taste. In bad taste. You know,
well, I think this one that you're going to do tonight is a little bit more on target.
Well, the one tonight is going to have to do more with... Maybe I shouldn't do it. It has to do with infidelity. And the sexy guy that the woman meets. Or not, maybe not even sexy guy, just the guy that has grabbed her attention. And how... maybe it's more...
Could just do the interview. You know, you're really boring everyone now.
Yeah, better do it, Phil.
Well, excuse me.
Well, Mr. Ernie, start falling in love with your voice. Won't do that.
Yeah, why? When you start falling in love with your voice, you know.
Wait, hold on. Lloyd?
Can I just jump in, Phil?
Yes, sir.
I know what they mean. I've listened to you. You go, hey, you know, Phil Henry, and you sound like about 100 yards of ass.
Tell him I didn't hang up on him.
Yeah, Bonafide, Mr. Bone?
Name's not... Can we shut up? What are you talking about?
You're going, yeah, well, everybody. You talk about me getting lazy jaw, whatever you call it.
It's called sloppy jaw.
Well, I don't like the term sloppy jaw because that sounds... It sounds moist. It sounds wet.
All right, so what's the point here?
You talk to me like that.
What's the point, Mark? Is she leaving now?
Yeah, she's leaving.
Not out of the studio.
I'm going to take a dump there.
God, she just absolutely celebrates those, man. I'm telling you, it's nuts. All right, Lloyd, let's get back. I don't want to talk anything about whatever this... I'm in love with my voice.
Sir, I didn't mean to offend you, Mr. Henry, but there are times on your program when you go, hey, you know, and you try to sound like you've got about a 10... Well, you know, you've got a 10-inch long, and I won't say the word. Please don't hang up on me. I didn't want to say...
All right.
Yeah, but he didn't say the word.
Oh, you're right. He didn't say the word. Sir?
Oh, you ought to burn in hell, for I never said a bad word, and you hung up on me anyway.
Did I hang up on you, or did I put you on hold?
Oh.
So getting back to the story of the forest fire that you almost started because you were high on marijuana, and then your friends went down to find the...
You know, you can laugh all you want, but my point is very simply this. There are certain people that get the love of the press and are celebrated for their heroism and their great feats and their great works. And then there are those of us who do equally astounding things, in point of fact, in service to others, not in service to themselves, because what happened with those two mountain hikers or hitch climbers, the two ladies that were the hitch climbers.
Mountain climbers.
The mountain climbers. What happened to these two women was that they saved their own rear ends and nothing more and the whole world is supposed to drop and give them all praise to Allah. Excuse me for putting it that way. Now,
well, it's no, okay. What, bud?
Yeah, you blew my ear out, man. What's the level on the thing?
Yeah, what's the level? I'll watch the level. I'm sorry. Lloyd, look, no one, I don't think these women decided they'd get lost and then get found and so the world would love them. But if you're asking why people celebrate the rescue of other people, it's just one of those stories where life is supported over death, where the continuance of life wins and death is defeated for one more day. Don't you think that's the case?
Well, I think that all sounds very poetic. But keep in mind, Mr. Henry, that I'm a veteran of the Korean War, and I saw a lot of guys, and not all of them were Americans. I saw a lot of Chinese and North Koreans, and I saw South Koreans, and I saw them go down for the count. You know, the old song about go down, Moses, there was a song about going down, and it was a spiritual, so please don't think I'm being filthy. And
oh, I know. Now, go down dying? Is that it?
Go down dying? Well, how does that give anybody any inspiration?
I don't know what you're referring to, sir. Getting back to your story.
Yes, getting back to my story, the fire was contained and it was put out. I did it single-handedly, even though the flames were at one point 30 feet high. I remember standing back, and I was so tired that when I saw how high the flames were leaping, I almost gave up. I almost said, I can't do it. God forgive me. I can't do it. And I almost just dropped to my knees right there in the dirt. And I was going to watch as the fire consumed not only the tree line and the camping equipment, but also me.
You were going to allow yourself to die.
There was no other choice for me. I would not be able to look anyone in the face knowing what Dennis had done. And
so you don't blame yourself for this fire. You were smoking the weed, okay?
Yes, sir, I was. But I'm not the one that flipped the roach into the high weeds, high dry weeds, the way he done did.
We're talking with Lloyd Bonafide on the world-famous Phil Henry Show about an incident in which he and some friends were smoking marijuana and the discarding of a lit roach set fire to the weeds around them. Two of the men left to get help. Mr. Bonafide was there by himself fighting this fire all night. You say all night long?
Yeah, well, yes, sir, until the sun was high, until the sun was up about an hour.
Do you know how many hours? We say all night long. The reason why I'm asking is, was it literally all night or was it a few hours?
Well, we had eaten dinner. We settled down. We played cards. We had a couple of drinks. We smoked two of these marijuanas that they had, two or three, and then we began telling stories. And then we smoked, I guess, probably another bowlful as they broke out a pipe. No, I had the pipe, so we smoked two more bowlfuls.
God, you smoke a lot of weed. No wonder you're getting recognized about a fire.
You know, that's true.
Well, I understand you said that's true. I didn't know what he said.
He said you...
All of the weed you were smoking...
Well, we smoked it. What do you mean?
You had two bowlfuls, four joints. Good Lord, man. No wonder you're looking at this fire and wondering if it's real fire or is it just the fire of hell that you'll be sent into because you cheated on your wife. I'm telling you right now, you guys were so stoned, you didn't know what you were looking at. And that fire could have gotten out of control and it could have consumed a lot more than just the immediate tree line. Why do you think you deserve any kind of love or credit for that?
You know, you're very fancy, Mr. Henry, and you're very clever. And
no. Why do you think, sir?
Well, because I put the fire. You're very clever, and if there's one thing I don't like, it's a clever boy. And you're trying to be a clever boy here.
I'm not being a clever boy. I'm asking you, why do you think you deserve love for putting out a fire that you were responsible? I know Dennis did, because he threw the roach. Fact of the matter is, all three of you guys smoking bowlful after bowlful. Man, you know.
Oh, so now it's funny, huh?
Well, I've got to laugh. Thank God nobody was hurt. Thank God you put the fire out. I suppose, sir, if I'm to be honest, it was quite a job that you did. You were by yourself. You shoveled dirt on top of it. The fact that you say you fought this fire all night, though.
Oh, does that sound like bullcrap? See, now you're beginning to squint your eyes up because I'm watching the Philovision or whatever you call it, and you rolled your eyeballs. You don't think people see that, Mr. Henry? But I saw you go, yeah, the fact that you fought the fire and the eyeballs roll, you know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean, all right? Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Let's go to Brad. We're taking some phone calls here for Lloyd Bonafide, a man who survived and survived very, very handsomely a fire that was started by himself and his mates in the forests of the Angeles National Forest up above Los Angeles. Lloyd, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Or no, not Lloyd. It's Brad. Brad, go ahead.
Lloyd, this is Brad, and I'm calling from Las Vegas, and it's nice to speak with you, sir.
Yes, sir.
And I want to say that your service to our country very much appreciated.
I appreciate that, sir.
You were smoking bowlful after bowlful. I have been a drug addict, sir. I consider myself still be a drug addict, and I go for counseling. I'm in a 12-step program.
Yes, sir. Well,
I'm to be commended.
Yes, sir. That's exactly what you are to be commended.
I appreciate that. And the fact that you were smoking this marijuana, you know, bowlful after bowlful, like Mr. Henry said, I understand that you can get very high and you will be enjoying the trees and everything that you're there, right?
Well, we were on the floor. Where are you right now?
I'm out on the side. I've got a flat tire. I'm on the freeway right now, and I'm waiting for the AAA.
You got a flat tire?
Yeah, I did, Mr. Henry. I'm on the 15 here outside of Vegas. I got a flat, and I was listening to the show, so I'm waiting for AAA. I'll give you a call.
Okay.
Well, I hope you're safe out there.
Yes, sir, I'll be safe. But my question is this. You were smoking bowlful after bowlful, and you were very, very high. You stoned, and the fire starts, and you claim that you single-handedly were using shovelfuls of dirt put out a fire that was 30 feet high.
I'm not claiming anything, sir. I'm telling you it happened.
I'm just asking you, how do you know it happened if you smoked so much weed you thought you were looking at the fire of hell that you would be cast into for lying to your wife?
Well, what does that mean?
That's a good point. He's asking, how do you know you're...
Hey. I'm hitchhiking right now. Go ahead.
Why don't you hold on for a minute, okay? We got a caller on the line from Las Vegas. We have Lloyd Bonafide with us. We got to take a break. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we continue talking about this... These two women rescued in the Colorado mountains, and a great rescue it was, as they were found, and they are safe, and that's as it should be. Lloyd Bonafide calling in with his own tale of danger, putting out a fire some 20-plus years ago after starting the fire while smoking weed and watching the flames leaping into the sky and thinking that he was hallucinating hell. So, by the way, somebody ought to get on the line with this guy. I don't know what he was smoking, but you're not exactly going to be hallucinating hell.
Yeah, but what about a sedative hypnotic?
Yeah, okay, sedative hypnotic, whatever. We'll be right back. 855-500-7445, world famous Phil Henry Show. Ready to get to it, bud?
I didn't know.
When we hear the countdown from CJ there in Washington, D.C., and she goes, "You're on," then you want to make the music go and not sit there with your finger buried in your nose as you just were doing.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Anyway, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and with me, Lloyd Bonafide from... Lloyd is in Alhambra, California. We also have with us a gentleman on the freeway in outside of Las Vegas, Brad. Now, Brad, I know you've had a flat tire. I appreciate very much, though, you joining us. You're okay, huh?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine, Mr. Henry.
All right, let's get back to what you were saying, Brad, and you, Lloyd. The two of you were talking about, and what we are talking about here, folks, is kind of an interesting a bit of human behavior and the human story, and that is, if we are in trouble, if we are rescued, if we become a front page story because of a feat of heroism, often, people are drawn to us as a representation of life. In the case of these two women who were rescued, the tale perhaps should be told more from the viewpoint of the rescuers and not people who got themselves into trouble. In your case, Mr. Bonafide, you got yourself into trouble, but you got yourself out of it. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yes, sir, I'm saying that, and
Hey, get your head.
Is this gentleman listening?
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm sorry. We're trying to get a ride down to the filling station down here.
Why aren't you? I thought you were waiting for AAA.
We were. Yes, sir. We are waiting for AAA, but I don't know what they're doing.
Got a AAA card. Excuse me for having to ask that.
I think so, sir. Yes.
All right. That's not necessary.
I thought my girlfriend has a AAA card. I don't know. I mean, we did call AAA, and she said that they would. She went down to the call box here, but that was like 2 hours ago.
2 hours? 2 hours is a long time to be waiting for AAA.
Well, how do you know the card is current, sir?
I don't know.
Well, take a look at the AAA card. I think the far more important thing here is you.
Hey, look, Joe. Put it back. I'm sorry.
What are you asking her to show?
I didn't say anything, sir.
Yes, you did, because I've been in your position before. Did you ask her to show one of her breasts?
That's really no concern. I wanted to talk.
I think it is.
What, have you been in that position before?
Yes, sir. I guess I shouldn't talk.
I don't think you should talk. I'm asking you, because you put out a fire that you started, how's that make you better than those two women would have been rescued?
Well, you know, it makes me better than a guy standing off on the side of the freeway asking his girlfriend to flash one of her boobs so they can get a ride. There. How's that feel?
That doesn't answer my question.
All right, I don't want to have an argument about what this guy's doing on the side of the road. If this gentleman says he's fine and he's waiting and he's hitchhiking, I don't know. It's not a... What is the point that you are making, Lloyd?
My point is this. I'm not bringing this man's girlfriend into it, but I sure as hell didn't have a woman taking her blouse off and showing it to every helicopter that flew by. I had to put that fire out myself. Do you think anyone cares about a tired old man shoveling dirt onto a fire? The answer is no. If I had breasts, if I had a, excuse my language, vagina, I would have used it. I would have done everything I could, but I didn't.
What about your penis?
You're not going to get any help. You know, someone ought to kick...
All right, watch it, will you?
What is this conversation turning into?
I did not bring my girlfriend into this. You guys brought... I'm waiting for a ride. I've had 5 semis just blow right by us, and she's practically naked now. Okay?
Well, apparently they're not interested.
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
I'll take it from here, Phil. What's it mean? 3 guesses and the first 2 don't count.
Oh, so you guys think that I'm out on the highway here with USDA prime beef, and I don't...
I'm telling you...
Forget about this guy on the highway. All right, thank you very much, sir.
All right, Phil, I love your program. Do you know where I could get a CD of the show?
Go to our website, philhenryshow.com, and there are CDs for sale.
Oh, okay, he goes to the website. She's looking for it right now on the iPhone. Okay, Phil, we love your show so deeply.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yes, sir.
Well, I hope they can find themselves a ride. Lloyd Bonafide with us.
That was a whole... you talk about wasted time. I've never in my life been on a talk show that wastes more precious, valuable time than this program that I'm on tonight. And I...
Well, that, you know what? I've had you on a full hour, sir. I think I've treated you with great respect. That's a real insult.
Mr. Henry, I appreciate that, but I'm about honesty. I said I'd never lie again, and I'm telling you right now, your show is about as bad as they get. I'm telling you that I almost burned a forest down, and that I put out the fire with a shovel.
Yeah, is that truth? See, let's get down to what's truth. You're looking at fire, you think it's the fire of hell. You put out a 30-foot-high fire with a shovel and dirt, fought it all night long. Am I supposed to believe you're some kind of a Popeye of the fire department?
Popeye.
You know something? I'll take that from anyone. I'll take that from my wife, but I won't take it from a talk radio program personality, the host.
All right, I tell you what, we're going to have to agree to disagree. I like the fact that these ladies were cited and feeded by the newspaper. Hold on, bud. Cited and feeded by the newspaper. I like that. What? Jay Santos. Okay, I'll get to Jay in a minute. That they were cited and feeded by the newspaper. I like the fact that these women were rescued. I'm not necessarily, you know, I don't necessarily disagree with you when you say that you are, you know, that you deserve more. What is that?
Jay Santos.
What do you mean it's Jay Santos, Jay?
Flight Bill, Jay Santa, Superior Phil, we decided to go ahead and go on up to the area that Mr. Bonafide had been talking about. I think it's in there. We have a great lot of wildlife. That's the wildlife, you see. The wildlife has come back. I got to say, it has come back. As we come up here to where the area, they said he's... there's a lot of squirrel life here. And I don't know... the squirrel life is great, yes. The life has come back in the fire area that was ravaged by the stupidity of these individuals. The life is great, but these are squirrels we brought up in a cage. What does that mean? It means we came up here, Citizens Auxiliary Police came up to release squirrels up here to see if they'll survive up here in this fire ravaged area that you made. I don't understand.
In other words, the life has not come back.
Well, he just said that it did. He said the life has come back by way of my car. I brought up here. So you call up to mock an old man, is that it? I call mock an old man. What I'm trying to say to you is...
We heard what you said. Thanks very much, Jay, for bringing those squirrels up there to the area. So life has come back by way of the Citizens Auxiliary Police Subcommander's cars. That's what he's telling us. Thank you, Lloyd.
Thank me for what? This, you know, I didn't get to near what I wanted to say. It is so unfair. So damn unfair.
Thank you very much, sir.
Go straight.
All right, and we're going to be back here next hour, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Thank you very much, Jay Sandus and the Citizens Auxiliary Police. So what did they do? Did they tell you?
Yeah, they said I went down to a pet shop, got five, six squirrels, caged them, packaged them, take them all up.
Yeah, they're bringing the squirrel. They're ferrying squirrels up there now as we speak.
We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Well, what's so funny about that?
Ferrying squirrels.